looking forward to this year, really am, and reading a book that's just really got me excited about, how to share this with you. I really didn't want to use the word paradigm shift again, because that is a huge word, but after a lengthy time with the Lord yesterday afternoon and studying, this is another paradigm shift, and it's really the table is a paradigm shift, and it's how we view God. This year, last year was how we view ourselves and our being. This year is how we view God, and it's going to be really, really good, and I look forward to the journey with you together. So, Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that we are. Thank you for the table that we are learning about and coming to, and we're at it tonight. We're at it, Lord, to celebrate you, celebrate one another, and, Lord, to feast from the table that you have set before us, and we want to continue to do that. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
I love that song. It's just incredible. It's, you can think of the altar in a couple of different ways. Like traditionally, I would think about these, and I would think about brokenness, and I would think about being at the end of my rope. And that's an easy way to think about the altar, and that's kind of what I grew up seeing and people living out in front of me. But when we did family communion, Christmas Day, there was nothing broken about me, but it was just so, it was about thankfulness, kind of. I went down there with Elizabeth and Paul and Luke, and I love Will and Jennifer and the whole family, and I kind of remember sitting there and thinking, this like, it could have not happened this way. Of course it was going to happen this way, but it, what if it didn't? And what if I was still way back in the things that I look at and regret and I'm scared of and all that stuff? What if that had continued on? But here are these people, the people closest to me, Will, Jennifer, Paul, Luke, and of course Elizabeth. And then right outside of that, all of you guys in Eagles Way and my family at Safe House and even Griffin. Like, I know so many people, and they're all amazing, amazing people. And they all want good. And then comes along Buren and Ralph and David, and all of a sudden someone's telling me that the world isn't getting worse, it's getting better. What if someone hadn't told me that? Because now it's just the way I live. I walk around seeing things getting better. There's all these people that don't see the world getting better. There's all these people that talk to me on a daily basis that are like, oh, can you believe this happened? I heard on the radio this, and it didn't used to be this way. And sure, there's a lot of things that if you do the math and if you know a lot about economics and all that, yeah, of course, that's not great. But it's incredible knowing that even though there's bad things, even though there's negative things, even though people are doing math and it doesn't line up and all that different stuff, that somehow this thing that we're in now isn't as good as it's going to get. It's going to get better. And if no one had ever told me that, oh, I would just be walking around this negative, like, sad. I remember being negative and sad, and I'm not anymore. And the altar on Christmas morning was me reflecting on that with my family, and it was incredible. And that's the altar I was singing about just now. When I say, oh, come to that altar, I was talking about the positive, peaceful, thankful place where you can just reflect and meditate on that. I don't know what I'll be singing about next time I sing that song. It might be the broken, vulnerable one, but it's not right now, and it hasn't been for a while. And that's a miracle. Speaking of, this is God of Miracles. So I don't know if you guys noticed, but I'm up here by myself. It's crazy. You don't realize we only sing like two songs a piece up here, and then you don't have to sing anymore. And I've kind of gotten used to that. It's kind of difficult to keep going, especially when it's this song. This is a song that means a ton to me, and I've talked about it 100 times, and I just... 2016 is the year that I just kind of feel like I let go of the reason I sang this song in the beginning. I sang this song in the beginning because I was just a wreck, and I identified myself as a wreck. If you would have said, I am filling the brain, it would have not been a positive thing. And I just don't feel any of that anymore. I don't feel not good enough. Like, I'm telling you, like 99% of the time, I feel good enough. And it's taken years to get there. Consistent, like, being around really amazing people and mentors that just give and give, and they never ask for anything in return. And at the end of that, I feel good enough. Just every day, I wake up feeling good enough. When I meet somebody that, like, I'm trying to do sales at my job, like, I used to think, oh, what are they thinking about me? Oh, are they happy? Do I need to bring my price down so they'll like me? How do I succeed? And that's just gone. I succeed every day. And I'm not ever below anybody. On top of that, I'm not above anybody either. I don't lie to myself and build myself up or break other people down to be above them. I just, something clicked in me in 2016 where I'm even. And you see all this stuff on Facebook, 2016 was the worst year of all time. I just don't identify with that at all. And it's really hard to find a picture that says 2016 was the best year of all time, so I would post that one. And so I think this year I get to sing How He Loves because it just keeps on being put on the schedule for me. I'm going to sing it in, like, this really great, like, the world is in front of me, and I'm going to keep walking into whatever that good is, and I'm going to keep sinking into grace, and I'm going to be comfortable there. I'm going to be comfortable in grace. I'm going to be comfortable in the mercy of God and not feel like I'm taking, that He's giving and I'm receiving, and maybe that's the way it was always supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to be constantly trying to earn it. And I'm not anymore. I just have it. I possess it. And I hope you have the 2016 that I have. And if you didn't, 2017's right here. It's going to be amazing. I'm also kind of going to draw this song out because we only have 3 songs. We usually have 5. So just make this reflective. Make this meditation. Make this whatever, however you center yourself, however you find the middle of your mind and be at peace, whether that's staring at a river, whether that's listening to music, whatever that is, find that right here, because that's what I'm feeling when I hear this song. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane, and I am a tree bending beneath weight of His wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. like a hurricane, and I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.
I've always loved that song. That song is rich. The words are really weighty. You know what I mean? Carry a lot of weight. The verse that says, heaven meets earth with an unforeseen kiss. When he first wrote that song, he said, heaven meets earth with a wet, sloppy kiss. And he just thought that was a little too heavy, and so he changed it up. And because if you read the Song of Solomon, you'll find out there's a lot of stuff like that in the Song of Solomon. I remember my first really good kiss. Yeah, it wasn't my first kiss. My first kiss was a bummer. I mean, a bummer. I didn't kiss a girl till I was 17, almost 18. I was 18, and I was real shy. Y'all have heard me talk about my shyness, and so I have this date with this girl and Mike, and then Mike's in the car, and he says, "You know, you're going to kiss that girl tonight." And so I walked her to the door, and I said, "Can we step inside a minute?" And she said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm not going to let them see my first kiss." So they didn't, and it wasn't nothing to brag about. But do you remember what real love is? You remember how your heart turned inside? How that happens? You know, that's how we need to be with God. We need to feel that my heart turns violently inside my chest. Do y'all remember that? Come on. All right, Jim. Yeah, buddy, I remember that. And but that's what that song, you know, is saying. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. And see, as we go into this year and we discover this past year who we are, but now we're going to discover who God is. You know, we said this past year, I am who God says I am. How about this phrase? God is who he says he is. Not who other people says he is. God is who he says he is. Who he has revealed himself to us. God is who he says he is. And I'm learning as I go on and on in this journey that I see more of God and see him as he really is. And my perspective of God changes from time to time. It gets more, I'm more aware of some things I haven't been aware of. This I've jotted down a few things. One of the things this coming year, we're going to go from being to becoming. Being to becoming. See, in him we live and move and have our being because we learn about who we really are. Well, when we learn about who we really are, then we can become who we really are. With me? It's like, we're going to be love, be light, be these things, not just a doctrinal, theological thing. Be these things, become these things, because in him you live and move and have your being. You know who you are. You can become who you are. Is that good? So from being to becoming. One of my favorite statements this year was this, and then I'll share what I want to share about this. The destiny of the Logos. And that the Logos, that's the Word of God. There's two Greek words that people really talk a lot about in the Word of God. The Logos is the written Word of God. And then there's a Greek word, the Rhema Word of God. And that the Rhema Word is not the written word, it's the revealed word. It's the word that leaps off that page and jumps in my heart and quickens me. And the statement is, the destiny of the Logos was not the printed page, but it was you. The incarnation is the ultimate translation of the Word of God. See, the incarnate Word becomes the implanted Word. And the implanted Word becomes the engrafted Word. And the engrafted Word becomes the lived out Word. So I looked at my lifetime of Bible study, and here's the translations I've used, and now I've got a new translation, Joy, to share tonight. How about that? I got my own translation. You ready for that? I'll get to it in a minute, but I started with the King James Version translation, and I went from there to the New King James Version translation, and I went from that to the New International Version translation. And then I went from that to the American Standard translation. And I went from that to the, and I always use the Amplified translation in the middle of all that to kind of get a better understanding. Then I end up, now I do the New Living translation. But I was thinking about that today, and I thought, I want another translation. Here's the new translation. It is the New You translation. So when I wrote that out, I wrote, that's the N-U-T. And so, oh, that's a nut. So I had to change it up again. So, you know, but I started not change it up because I thought, you know, if you really live out the way that we ought to live out God, you're gonna be a nut to everybody else. They're going to say you're a nut because it's so contradictory to everybody else. So I toned it down and I changed it to the New Me translation. And that is the NMT translation. So when somebody asks you, what translation Bible do you read? Say, oh, I read this one, but I really like the New Me translation. Come on. I'm living it out. I'm a living epistle. I'm not just reading it. I'm living it. Isn't that what it's really all about? I'm living it out. I'm not just reading it. I'm living it. A lot of people read it, but that are we living it out? That's the thing. So I want the translation. I love all these other translations, and they have benefited me tremendously over the years. And I probably all of them from time to time, I'll read something out of it. But the translation that God wants to read is your translation, how you translate the word, the New Me translation. Just want to tell you, Lynn, I want to tell you this when I first got up. This year is going to be a really fulfilling year for you. It's a lot of things just going to come into focus. A big puzzle is just going to come together, and you're going to see it's going to be a beautiful picture, and it's going to be a very, very fulfilling year in your life, in your family. And you're just going to really, really enjoy this year. I had three words that I chose this year for my life personally. We have three words that we're going to talk about for us corporately. And in the banquet and the table, we're going to talk about engaging. And if you engage, you'll discover. And if you discover, you'll define things in a different light, in a different way. And so I found out until I engage, nothing's going to really happen. But it's amazing what happens when I just move, when I engage in it, when I do something. Don't just think about it, but do it. And so that's our word kind of corporately. And you want to buy in these other three words of mine, you're welcome to. I'm excited about them. But faith, fellowship, and fun. Faith, fellowship, and fun. I want to see my faith ignite. I want to see it grow this year with leaps and bounds. I want to see my faith grow. I want to see my fellowship grow. I want to extend my fellowship. I want to fellowship with a lot of people. I want to engage with them. And I believe in maybe these three words go with these three words, that if we engage in other fellowship, then we'll discover some things and be able to define, because everybody needs people. We need one another. Jacob was sharing about what it's meant to him to be around other people. I shared with Ken Mullis and Margaret took in this young lady over the last several weeks, and I just saw her Sunday morning, and I've seen her maybe two or three times since they took her in, and she was very downcast, wouldn't hardly hold her head up. And when I saw her Sunday, it was like a total different person. She was, her head was up. He says he's a lifter of our head. And I saw just this different glow from this girl. And I went up to Ken and I said, you know, y'all have done such a wonderful job. And I think she's going to have to leave. She didn't know that as of Sunday morning. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it appears that that's going to happen. But I told him, I said, you know, Ken, I'm one who believes strongly in osmosis. I believe in mentoring by speaking, but I believe just as much mentoring happens just by being in someone's presence. That you just being around the right people, osmosis happens. And there's things that are passed from one person to another. I learned this year, now there's a scripture that, and it was taken a little to an extreme, but it bears pointing out the power of this. The Bible says, lay hands on no man quickly or suddenly. And it's talking about ordaining people. In other words, saying don't be so quick, because when you lay hands on somebody, there's an impartation that's taking place. You can't do that and not have an impartation take place. That's the reason the Bible talks about laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. There's a reason we lay hands. There's a reason that there's that personal touch, that there's something that is transmitted. It's committed to the other person. Jesus was a touchy person. Jesus touched the children. He loved on the children. He gathered them together. He spent time, very close relationships with people. He had 70 he sent out, he had a close relationship with. He had 12 he had a real close relationship with. He had 3 he was even more close to, Peter, James, and John. You'll see him with them more than the others. And there's one he was very close to, and that was John. And he had these different levels of relationships. And in those different levels of relationships, you see, Christ was benefiting from too. See, when you really read the Gospels, when you read the Bible, you'll find out the Bible is a continual unfolding revelation of who God is. The Bible is a unfolding revelation, continual unfolding revelation of who God is. Because I don't know about you, but there's some parts of the Old Testament that I don't want to see God as. There's some things that I see in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, and the law that's a lot different than I see in the New Testament. And Jesus even said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Bible said that Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and with men. He didn't just, boom, he grew into that. He grew into who he was by virtue of his parents, by virtue of the synagogue, by virtue of his relationships. He grew into that. And we're continually growing into what God wants us to become and to be. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that I haven't reached it. I hate to know this is it. I mean, I'm glad that as long as I'm here and on this planet, that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, I can continue to grow and mature in him. It's an unfolding. I thought, you know, last year, first of the year when Anna, she wrote the New Testament, typed it out. She didn't paste either. She wrote every word, typed it, whatever, the whole New Testament. And when she got to the end, she said this to her mother, I hate that it ended. I wanted it to continue. She said, I hate that the Bible ended in Revelation. I wish it was continued. Then she said this. What a revelation for an 11-year-old. But it hasn't ended. It's continually being unfolded in my life. God is continually writing his story in my life. I think, God, wow, I wish everybody get that. I mean, that spoke. I thought that'd preach. Let me have that. That's good stuff, because that's really what he wants us to see it. Not just a New King James translation, New Living Translation, but a new you, a new me translation. That I'm a lived out translation of the Bible that people see and read and know. That's what they said about the disciples when they was coming to a town. They said, the ones who turned Jerusalem upside down, have turned the world upside down, is coming to us. They saw the difference in them. Peter walked by people, and his shadow cast upon the sick and the lame and the crippled, and they were healed without a word being spoken. Ain't that powerful? They took handkerchiefs, cloths from the disciples, and took them to people's presence, and they were touched and healed by that. Stuff is real, man. It's not real stuff. And, you know, I just, after what happened to Mother last Saturday, a week ago, I just knew. I mean, it's just a miracle. You just say, 97-year-old women can't do that. 27-year-old men can't do that. You just, it just doesn't happen. There's something significant. That there are miracles that do happen. He is the God of miracles, and they do continually to happen and unfold in our life. And that's, I believe, as we this year see God as who He really is, and focus on that as much as we focus on ourselves, that we are who God says we are. He is who He says He is. And that's going to, I'm just excited, looking forward to discovering more and more about that. And, you know, what happens is that you read the scriptures in a different way. They just, same scriptures I read for years and years, all of a sudden take on new light, new meaning, new understanding. That's how inexhaustible the word is. I mean, it's not like it's a huge book. It's really not. I mean, that Gone with the Wind's bigger than this. That's why I never read it. I supposed to one time, and I stayed after school. We had to give the book report on Gone with the Wind. And when he told us to read it, I saw that big old book, and I said, I ain't reading that. Gosh, it take me 2 years to read Gone with the Wind. And so I'm sitting there doing this oral thing with the teacher, and she's asking questions, and she asked this person over here, said, what'd you think about so-and-so and so-and-so? And they said, well, about five people later, she looks over at me and said, Bjorn, what do you think about? I said, you know, she couldn't have said it any better. I felt the same way that she said it. That's how I felt about that character. She said, you didn't read it, did you? I said, no. She said, well, you want to leave? I said, yes, ma'am. So that wasn't so that's not that big a book. back to the story. It's not that big a book. But yet you can never learn it. It's inexhaustible. It's so rich. It's so rich and full of, you know, I was talking about Mephibosheth Sunday, and Dusty had asked me last week what I was going to preach on Sunday, and I said, Sunday you're going to get vintage beer. She said, what's vintage beer? And I said, it's just some old vintage beer of some, it's kind of deep stuff about types and symbols. When I got into Mephibosheth, you know, I already had some thoughts, but man, the more I got into it, all of a sudden, a whole new stuff opened up. All of a sudden, man, I saw it in even more light and even a different aspect of it than I knew. And that's what the word is. We just have to be aware of that. Awareness, you know, it took me, I would say, 2 years. Over the last 6 years, it took me 2 years to understand Raph's saying about your awareness. I just couldn't get it. It was so simple, but it just wasn't registering. And it's simply conscious awareness of who you are in all times, in all places, and if you are aware of it, then it happens. That's how the doors open. That's how change happens. That's how ministry happens. I'm going to the nursing home a whole lot, and so I forget sometimes to be who I am walking down that hall and to let the presence of God minister to people as I'm passing by them. I don't do that every time. I just kind of forget about it. But when I'm aware, I walk in weddings, funerals, and funerals, weddings. I've done that. I all the time do that, all the time. So I go to the nursing home now. Every now and then, though, I think before I walk in the door, I go, whoa, don't walk in here as just Buren, Callie's son. Walk in here with the presence of God. Walk in here, let the glory of God touch some people. Don't have to touch them, and just walk by them, pass by them, and let the aura of God minister to them. But I have to be aware of that. If I'm not aware of that, it don't happen. I believe that with all my heart. If I'm not consciously aware of it, it will not take place. But if I'm consciously aware of it, it'll happen. Amen? I want to give a couple of you an opportunity of what this past year has meant to you and maybe what you're looking forward to this year. But anybody got, I didn't choose anybody this time, pick you out, call you, prepare you. This is off the cuff. What happened to you this past year that's just ignited in you? Anybody? Kitty?
I'm with Jacob. 2016 was awesome. There were things in my life that other people might would have looked at and said that was not so awesome, but it was because of what God, it would take me 2 hours, so I'm not going to go on. I'm just going to pick one little small fragment. And that was my word that God gave me at the beginning of the year was faithful. And he just really, really, really showed himself faithful to me. And he allowed me to expand and be more faithful to him. And one of the things that I'm super excited about, and I'm driving David crazy about it, but many years ago I used to write songs all the time. And we sang them. And some of you don't even know, because a lot of you only know me as having been married to Joey, but I was married before. And I was divorced. And after I was divorced, I believe that I just made a choice. I spoke something into my life that I was not worthy to write anymore, that I was not worthy to bring forth God's word to the people. I don't know. I made some kind of decision, I believe. But in 2016, God was faithful to remind me of who I am in him and the promises that he's spoken over me through many, many people. And God's just like opened up the floodgates. So I'm just like constantly texting David words and saying, can you come over and listen to this melody and so on and so forth. So you will be hearing in 2017 God's faithfulness to us. And basically like what Bjorn was saying Sunday, he started with some of his older things that I've heard him say before, but then he just kind of went in another direction. And I'm just sitting there writing as fast as I can about coming to the table, you know, and coming in. And even the line about God, if you weren't here Sunday, he spoke a word about that when we sit at a table that we're all at the same level, that nobody's higher or lower or better, or, you know, whatever, we're all at the same level. And so one of the lines of the song is, come and sit with me, come to the table, choose to be with the master, choose to sit, come with me. And so I'm just super excited about that one little part, not little, big part of 2016, because obviously God has reignited that passion inside of me to be able to express myself through songs.
Anybody else?
Last year, my word was hope. I wanted hope because I had felt like I'd got to the place where I needed it the most. And I was in a Bible study with Linda Hardwick, and at the 12th week, you know, I came out with all the stuff that was going on in my mind, and then I was blessed to be able to go to Ralph Martin for about 5 or 6 months. And during that time period, you know, my prayer life, you know, was a lot of the thing that I was struggling with, because I had given so much to that, I had neglected myself. And so now the awareness is being still and seeing the salvation of the Lord. You know, I used to always want to just see it. That's why I always called myself God's secretary, that I had to follow up and find out what God was doing in it, you know, so I know I can keep on praying. But what it was is I had a trust issue. And so God dealt with that. And, you know, I was raised with believing that God punished, you know, for 33 years, I believed he punished. I didn't know he loved. And being that's what my mother taught me. He's punished you. I used to hide underneath the table, and my mother said, he can see you under there. And I, you know, anything, you know, so I believed that. And so, you know, I've been set free just to, when I pray, you know, now I pray different because I don't, you know, there's a difference between it. You know, it's just saying, I'm believing. You know, there's just something about telling someone you believe and trust God for them, you know, and things, you know, came out in me that I can't explain, but I know that I was excited about that word.
Awesome. Good. Y'all don't let me forget I have to take Bella home. At least one of y'all will remind me because I know if y'all, somebody don't remind me, I'm going to go home without her. Please remind me to get Bella. The third, in January, February, March, we have in first Wednesday and third Wednesday. Third Wednesday, we're literally having a dinner together. But we haven't defined these completely, but basically we've got four things. One, after dinner, you can stay at that table and just fellowship. Just have a conversation with whomever's there. There's going to be a class that Joy's going to do on basically an intentional mind and about some, you know, positive thinking. We hadn't defined it exactly how we want to do it. Will and Dusty's going to do a group on relationships, talk about marriage, talk about parenting, that kind of stuff. And I'm going to have one called The Dump. And The Dump, you know, we want people to know. We try to get this. We believe in being positive, but we do live in a world full of trouble sometimes. Sometimes you just got a problem. But the dump is to be able to come and say, Pastor Buren, you know, I just that been going through this, and we're going to say, well, dump it here and just leave it here. It's okay to say you're having a problem right now, but, you know, just dump it here, pray over it, go on. Let's get rid of it. So Joy named it The Dump. So I thought if Mr. Mojo could name it The Dump, we could call it The Dump. But looking forward to those four different aspects of things. We've got a chili cook-off coming, is it the 22nd of January. So get your chili cooking shoes on and be good. Anybody else? Jacob, thank you for you sharing some good stuff tonight. Thank you for sharing your
heart. I was like, awesome. You young people are just blowing me away. I mean, you know, the ladies, Mary, God, what? I mean, I just, you know, it just to a mom of three grown girls, I'll tell you what, and my girls are so dear to me. And I know they love the Lord with all their heart, but I'll tell you what, when you listen to you young people and how much you love the Lord and how what God's doing in your lives that you're allowing him to do, my gosh, you guys just blow me away. You make me so dang proud. I feel like your parent. But anyway, enough about that. Interestingly enough, 2016, when you asked for the word, you know, I prayed about it. I really did, and I had no preconceived notion of what word I was going to write down on that belief or whatever that thing was up there being. And but for whatever reason, trust. I'm like, oh, God, I trust you. What are you talking about, you know? And so I put it up there, and, you know, the year started out kind of crappy. Mr. Larry had to go back into the hospital with his heart issues and everything, and that wasn't good, but praise God, he's still alive. And, you know, God is faithful. And, I don't know, many of you may not know this, but November 10th, I was released from my job and of 13 years. And, you know, a lot of people would say, wow, you're 60 flipping years old. You have no job. You're the sole breadwinner of your family. And it was it was almost as if that evening when my doctor brought me in and said that he just couldn't afford me anymore, it was like I got in my car and I just wanted to, I thought I was supposed to cry, and all of a sudden it was just that word trust came, and it was just like I began, as I'm driving home from noon, and I just began to break out in praise. And I knew that I knew that I knew that God was in control, that there, this was beyond my control. There wasn't a darn thing I could do about it but trust, but trust. So here I am, 2 months later. I still don't have a job, but I'll tell you what. This has been the most magnificent 2 months of my life. I have been so flipping busy in, you know, without a job. I don't know what the heck I did all those years that I was working. But I know that I know, and all of the teachings that we have had over the last 3 years about our creating our futures and our creating what we want has been, I've had so much time with the Lord to just create. I even have an imagination board book thing, and I know that the job that I have created, it's going to be the job that I'm going to have. I just know that. As sure as I'm standing here, I know, I don't know where it's going to come from. I'm walking it out, and I'm believing. But I know it's going to be the best job I've ever had in my life. And I will have that until I'm ready to retire, and I'm going to have retirement. That's something you don't really have in dentistry. So I'm telling you, I'm so darn excited, you know, and it's like, this is so, I should be worried, I should be, but I'm not. I'm just not, because as much as I know, you know, my God, I'm standing here and I trust that he has my back, that he loves me, and that surely my best is yet to come.
Let's stand together. I want us to pray for Mother tonight. Last week, it was, they came down to me and they said, because she has, I don't have to go to a nursing home. They said, where do you want to go? Send her. I said, Brightmoor. And they said, well, they came back and said, you got to have a second choice. I said, I don't have a second choice. She said, you got to have a second choice. I said, well, I don't have one. And she said, well, it's hard to get them in Brightmoor. I said, well, I don't have a second choice. I said, you just give me one day before you go call there, okay? She said, okay. She come down the hall the next day smiling. She said, they happen to have a room at Brightmoor. I said, ain't God good? Sometimes you got to confess it. Got to believe it. I just wasn't going to, you know, never wouldn't go in there. But Mother needs strength. Her therapy, she's doing awesome. Actually, bless her heart, she's doing more in therapy than she was doing before the fall. I mean, it's amazing what she's been able to do, but she's not eating, and she's just eating, just her appetite had already gone down a lot over the last couple of years, but this is way too low. She needs some energy just from nutrition. So just send forth just positive vibes toward her and prayers of blessings toward her to stir up that appetite in her to eat. And now I want you to just agree with me tonight. We're going to bless the families of Eagles Way Church. I don't think New Year's come along just for the sake of time, to govern time by. I do think there's always something special about seasons and times and seasons. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, there'd be seed time and harvest, there'd be night and day, cold and heat. The Bible says that He gave seasons as times and signs. So I think every year, New Year, is an opportunity for something awesome and great, something really significant to transpire. But we have to be aware of more than making a resolution. It's more of making a declaration and a real commitment, you know, for the year. I want to bless the families. I really believe that, said it Sunday morning, that there's a lot of people who aren't here who are going to be here before the end of the year. They're going to come and feast at this table. They're going to come and feast from at the banquet table and enjoy the blessings of God and find a new Me Translation Bible in their own life. So, Father, tonight we thank you. We bless all the families of this house, all the different ones. And, Lord, even as David went out to battle one time and the soldiers, and they came back and the soldiers said, we're not going to share all these rewards that we got with the people who didn't go fight. And David said, no, everybody gets a reward. And I just believe that for all of Eagles Way Church. Every family, no matter where they are, what station in life they're in, we just bless them with a fruitful, blessed, awesome year. Thank you, God, for the coming together at this table for all year long, celebrating you and one another. Thank you for giving Mother strength. Thank you for just energizing her. Even when the food can't do it, you can do it. Just supernaturally do that. And I just thank you again for being with her and protecting her. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.